We're going to continue talking about the church. Tonight, I want to title the message tonight as The Church Awakened. You know, it's like that startle you get whenever you wake up. You know you got to be someplace and you forgot and you wake up late and you know you got to be there. How many have ever been there? You're panicking. And, the hour that you usually take to get ready with a cup of coffee and a yawn and a prayer, and you got 10 minutes to get in and shower and get where you're going. I think that's probably a good description of where the church is right now. You know, we're looking, if you're like me, you're looking for miracles, and it's not that God doesn't do it. You know, I was thinking about this today. I was out for a run, and I was thinking about miracles, and God said, you are a miracle. We're looking for miracles, and he said, well, what do you think you are? Right there's a miracle. I didn't think she'd be here tonight. Right there, Joanne. She was out for the count. They told her she was having a heart attack, and God said, no, she's not. Got to the hospital, and they checked her out, her heart. What'd they say? Perfect. Heart's perfect. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you for stirring the hearts of many people across this great nation, God. I believe it's a period of time where the church is being awakened. Just for the circumstances that are taking place every day seems to bring new revelation of how evil and wicked our generation has become. And Father, we thank you that righteousness trumps evil, that your holiness is much better than anything the enemy can come up with, Lord. He's a deceiving angel of light, but God, your truth comes. You reveal your truth to the sons and daughters of men. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 33, we'll start there tonight. Anytime there's an organization, a group, or a person that is not engaged, who is responsible for a region, a company, or family, the enemy has license to rule. If we're not going to rule in our family, the enemy will. If we're not going to rule in our home, in our hearts, personally, the enemy will rule. Nature abhors a vacuum. Nature has to have a leader. If you're not going to lead your life, the enemy will pull you around. Come on, somebody. If you're not going to lead your home, the enemy will. I'm amazed that I talk to couples and they say, well, we got pastor, we got this, we got that, we got the other, and we're having problems. My first question out of my mouth is, are you praying together? Well, no, we don't pray together. Well, I'm out of magic dust. You know, I can't sprinkle magic dust on you and say, magically delicious. You know, it's not magic. It's day in and day out laboring with the Lord to have an excellent marriage, excellent life. Come on, somebody. Are you there tonight? And so it's time for the church to wake up, because as the church goes, so the nation, the country, the family, we've got to take authority. Once again, Ezekiel 33, God speaks through the prophet. In verse 1, he says, again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make them their watchmen, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. Now, many would argue that we are not called to be watchmen of our area or our county or our town or our family, and I would argue that we indeed do. we indeed are to be watchmen. Why? The simple fact is that we see the unseen, we know the unknown. If you have the Spirit of God living in you, you know. Why? Because God said He would reveal them to His children. Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. I tell you what's happening. How many know the Holy Spirit's in us and tells us the times and the seasons and what's going on? Whether we respond to that or not, or know that or not, it's entirely up to us. So I want to talk again tonight about the church. We already know that the church is called the Ecclesia. Ecclesia, and that is called out ones. Now, what are we called out from? Don't everybody answer at once. Called out of the world. What's that mean? What are we called out specifically? Are we called out from sin? Called out from darkness? Come on, somebody. He's translated us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Many know there's not, we don't have to try to be light. Light doesn't work to be light. Light is naturally light. Come on, someone. What's this wall over here? What's this wall a part of? Part of the building. What about this counter? What about this floor? Chairs. Everything is part of the building. We're part of the body of Christ, no matter who we are. We're part of the body of Christ. We're the called out ones. We're called out from the world. We're called out from sin. We're called out from darkness. What else? What are we called out? We're called out from, I'm answering it all, but we're called out from ignorance. If you're a Christian, you cannot claim ignorance. It's a lame excuse. I didn't know. I mean, you know, we have an instruction booklet and we have Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost will let you know. How many know He's faithful? So the church is the called out ones. And so it's not time to rest. It's not time to relax. Those days are coming. You know, when we finish this race, Paul said, there's a crown laid up for me. I ran my race. Come on, we've got a race ahead. We've got a lot of work to do. While it's still daylight, while it's still here. The church is the ecclesia, the called out ones. And if we're called out from, we're called into, we're separated from those things, and we're called to Christ. Not only are we part of His body, we're His representation. We're gathered together in Christ to do what? Gathered in Christ, Mick said, to rule and reign. What else? Are we called to have fellowship with Him? Are we called to worship Him? What else? Come on. Don't let me answer everything. Spread the gospel. Evangelize. Well, that's Tom Skrella's job. And James and Amy. How's that everybody's job? Because we're separated from two. We're not in limbo. I've always said that a lot of the church has created another dimension. Kind of not darkness anymore. We know too much to be back in darkness again, but we feign ignorance. And we've created this whole other world, this nether world, where we carry a Bible and go to church a couple hours a week and then we live like the world the rest of the time. That dimension does not exist except in our mind. But that's where we find ourselves as a church. I'm not talking about necessarily our church. I'm talking about the church in America, for the most part, has fallen asleep at the wheel. We're not telling this generation. The sword's coming upon the land. How many know who's wielding the sword? Who's wielding the sword? The enemy is wielding the sword. Christ will bring the sword one day, but right now the enemy's bringing the sword. Dividing families, killing children. The sword's come upon the land. And it's not God's fault, and it's not the devil's fault. The devil's just doing what he's allowed to do. We're separated from, too. Listen to what, turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. This is all, it shouldn't be revelational, it should be reminding you, but when we put it together, we string it together, we start to get a picture. It's like whenever you're only got 10 minutes, when you usually take an hour to get ready, and you only got 10 minutes to get ready, how many know you do away with all the other stuff that was fluff? I guess I can't have coffee. I guess I can't, you know, spend an extra 10 minutes brushing my teeth or whatever, do my hair or whatever. Usually it takes me an hour to do my hair, but 1 Peter 2, 9 says, but you are a chosen generation. What's it mean to be a chosen generation, somebody? To be called out, what else? What's a chosen generation? Everybody's so quiet. Did I say something wrong? Pardon me? I couldn't hear you. Picked for a purpose. What else? What'd you say, honey? Terry? We're called out. What else are we called out for? You are a chosen generation. What's it mean to be chosen? Picked out. Proclaim the praises. How about this? Write this down. We represent the Godhead. I didn't do too well in spelling in school. Now, how do we represent? Chosen generation, we're chosen to represent. Signs and wonders? Come on, somebody. Miracles? Deliverance? Never before in my life have I ever heard so many people, so many demons speaking out of people. Are you there? You don't believe me, sit down and watch an hour of CNN. I mean, who's taking authority over them? See, the watchmen, we're asleep at the wheel. We're not warning them. The sword's coming upon the land. Deception is everywhere. It used to be just a couple of people that were talking nonsense. Now the whole world's gone crazy. Saying things that don't make sense to anybody. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. What's that mean? What's it mean to be a royal priesthood? What's that mean? Come on, somebody. A royal priesthood. What's a priest do? Leads worship. What else does a priest do? Takes confessions. What else? Covering. That's you. Put you in there. You're a royal priesthood under the Lord. Priest does two things. They minister unto the Lord and they represent the Lord. We minister unto God and we represent God. Just like the priests in the Catholic Church. They worship God and they represent the Catholic Church. Yeah. Kind of screwed up there, but we represent the Godhead. We're called out from to something. He separated us from the world and we cling to Him. It goes on to say we're a holy nation, His own special people. And what Joanne said is to proclaim the praise of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not attained mercy but now have obtained mercy. One of the things that the church has lacked in is identifying who we are now. Because we can't get back. We cannot get back the old man. If we're born again, we can't get back to where we were. It's frustrating to try. That's why some Christian counseling is such a multi-billion dollar business. People need counseling because they won't give up the old life in their mind, although the old man is dead. Pardon me? What'd you say?
I said I can
understand the old man. Won't give up the old ways. How many know when we're born again, we're a new creation? All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become old things have passed. All things have become new. That means all things. On somebody, we're called out from, we're called into the church. The church is an instrument of God to extend His kingdom and fulfill His purpose. Ephesians chapter 1, turn there, Ephesians 1. We've been quoting Ephesians 1, 16 through 19. I trust you've been doing that every morning. That's beginning to be a fun thing to do. Starting to see some things in my life changing. How many people are seeing some things change in your life? Come on, someone. God is waking up His church. God's waking up. The alarm went off. And we're like, oh my goodness, we got catch up to do. No, the word of the Lord through the prophet here last year was, we have 2 years to prepare the church. Then the greatest harvest the world has ever seen is coming. That's 2020. And we know the days are ticking. It's a prophetic word. The next 2 years, train your church. So we're going back to basics. Going back to basics again. We're called out of, we're called into. Watch what Ephesians 1 says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with, underline every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Who's us? Did you ever read that and wonder who's us? Because sometimes we just don't feel blessed. Am I the only one? Come on. Say, I sure don't feel blessed. You know. Had a flat tire and dog did his thing on the kitchen floor. And I mean, dishwasher broke, roof leaks. I don't feel very blessed. But how many know the scripture says emphatically we're blessed? It says it over and over again, but right here it's pretty clear. Has blessed us, that's every one of us, in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. You are no longer excused from saying, I was an accident, I'm not supposed to be here, I don't know if God loves me. Stop all that nonsense. God chose you. You wouldn't be here if He didn't choose you. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself. That word predestined is a powerful word. That means before the foundation of the world, He put His finger on you. Gave you a choice, but He put His finger on you. He drew you by His Holy Spirit. According to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Come on, somebody. This is good stuff. If I always said if I was on a desert island and could only have two books, I'd take the book of Ephesians and the book of Romans. If I could only have two books. Ephesians is a mini Bible. It's the Word of God in, condensed. Listen to what it says. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made me accepted in the beloved. It's okay to put your name in there. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Verse 8 says, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Listen, the church, if we'll do what God has positioned us to, can never be deceived. Come on. We know the devil's tactics. If I'm accepted and beloved, and I know the mystery of his will, verse 10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him, verse 11, also we have obtained an inheritance. Past tense, obtained. I'm not trying to get something from God. The church is not trying to get something. We have it. You're not hearing me. How many prayer meetings have I been in? I hear people asking for what they've already got. God, give me. God, give me. We've got the inheritance. It's ours. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Verse 13 says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. We are God's instrument of blessing in this world. This nation is blessed because they have us. It's quiet in here. We're blessed as a nation because we are here. If we weren't here, this nation would. Come on, somebody. We're little Christs running around. Jesus lives in us. He works through us. And we're blessed. Ephesians 3, verse 9. Turn over to Ephesians 3. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ. To the intent. I love that word. How many know if God intends to do something, he'll do it? God said, let there be light, and there... To the intent that now the manifold, variegated, many-sided wisdom of God might be made known by him to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Is that what it says? He made known by the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, the manifold wisdom of Almighty God be known to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Now watch, not only are we letting the angels know, we're letting the fallen angels know. We're letting the demons know by the way we conduct ourselves. It's quiet in here. If we're asleep at the wheel, if we're asleep letting the, you know, hit the snooze button until we only got 10 minutes left, it's no wonder the church is the way we are. It's not a surprise. How many know? We were told the world was going to get bad. And much of the church won't even admit the world's getting bad. It's just they're living in the live your better life now. I'm blessed. I use Colgate, you know. The world's in a bad place and we need to wake up because the manifold wisdom of God is filtered through the church. Our obedience, we're separated from darkness to light, so we begin to obey him and walk in his blessing. We become the called out ones that can never be deceived, and his intent is that we defeat the enemy. Remember in Psalm 110, what's it say? The Lord said to my Lord, set at my right hand until what? What? Many enemy your footstool. So who's going to do that? The church. This is not bleacher Christianity. Rah, rah, re, kick him in the knee. Rah, rah, re, kick him in the knee. This is not bleacher Christianity. This is active, get on the field and beat the devil. Come on, someone. The universal church is all believers living and dead. The mighty thing that we don't realize is how many cloud of witnesses we have around us all the time. If we could see into the spirit world, absolutely all the ones that went before are watching and praying and cheering with the angels and all the church that went before. We're part of that church, the universal church. Not just on the globe now. There may be a goal fixed that we don't communicate, but you better believe they're on our side. You better believe they're rooting for us. You better believe they're there. Come on, somebody. Ephesians 1:22 says, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the ecclesia, to the church. Ephesians 3:21, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So the universal church is all that went before and all that are here and all that will come. There's a continuing blessing of God on the church. And it's manifested in the local church. We have to build a strong outpost right here. Come on, someone. Communities that don't have strong churches are in bad shape. Are you there? And, you know, when I was coming back from 3 years, 4 years ago now, when I was coming back from Tippi, that year there were 3 suicides. When I was coming back, I was weeping. I was saying, God, what happened to the church? And we started gathering. I'll tell you what. We meet on second and fourth Wednesdays, and today we had us a Holy Ghost time. I mean, meeting with Nazarenes and Calvinists and all kinds of things. And we're calling down heaven. And these guys that have been around here for 30 years are excited, man. You can sense the move of the Lord. The local churches are waking up. They're all preaching about the active church coming alive. I think everyone I talk to when I say, what are you preaching? They're preaching about this right here. It's awakening the church. It's training the church. It's establishing, refocusing our purpose. Sometimes it's a great revelation to let the church know our purpose is not to have chicken dinners and Sunday school. Our purpose is to overcome the enemy, win the lost, and establish his kingdom. That's our purpose. Come on, somebody. So we confess our faith. When we come together, we confess our faith. Let the words of faith come from our mouth. We discipline our lives. You shouldn't need to be told to read and pray your Bible. Read your Bible and pray. Should be doing that. Come on, somebody. Basic training. Come on, am I talking to the right people? God's so faithful to remind us too, isn't he? When we don't, God says, I had an appointment with you. You missed it again. So we discipline our lives. We're obedient in baptisms. What are baptism and baptism in the Holy Ghost? And we find out and we operate in our ministries that God has given us. If you're a child of God, God has given you a gift of the Spirit. Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, study it. Find out what God is saying. We have a spiritual test. Gene gave me the same thing. We have it in our church as well. And it's just a series of questions where you answer them and find out where your giftings are. It's pretty accurate, but it should confirm what God is telling you in prayer. Come on, somebody. If we're going to speak in language that this world is going to understand, if we're really watchmen, it's going to take all of us speaking. The day of the Lone Ranger is gone. The Jimmy Swaggarts and the Benny Hinns and the Billy Grahams, and they've passed off this scene. We're not looking for heroes anymore. We're looking for the church. The job is so big, it's going to take everyone. Come on, someone. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. Everybody okay? You're quiet. Is that because I'm being louder? Hebrews chapter 12. I love what the scripture says in Hebrews 12. It says, Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and run with endurance the race that is set before us. How many knew you were in a race? What's the race? Anybody know? Tell me. What's the race? Pardon me? Be obedient. What's the race? Finish your purpose. What's the race? Pursue God. Spread the gospel. What's the race? Life. Life. I mean, it's the only thing we got. We only have time. We don't have anything else to give God. Everybody's in a race to get accomplish what God's called you to do before you. It's all over. We don't have any guarantees. We could pop. I thought Barb, I was mad at Barb. I said, Barb, don't you go right now. It's not fair, especially on Sunday morning. I mean, if you're going to go to heaven, pick like a Monday afternoon or something. Run the race. Live your life with endurance. That's set before us. Accomplish everything that God has for you. There's destiny wrapped up in your life. And if you live your destiny and I'm living my destiny, we become a powerful force against the spirit of darkness. Why? Because we're representing. We've been separated from the darkness. We've been separated from the sin. The old man is dead. We've been separated unto. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. When we speak, heaven takes notice. When we say bind, it's bound. When we say loose, it's loosed. There was a couple of people that ascended to God's purpose long before there was even the cross. Joshua, when he was in a battle, said, "Son, stand still." And if you've read that, we're going through the Bible again. If you've read that, it said it never happened before. Never happened since. That a man stood on the earth and said, "Son, stand still." He understood his purpose. To speak as God spoke. Come on, Elijah. "It's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain." God said, "Okay, I'm ahead. It's not going to rain until you say it's going to rain." How many know Elijah was a man with passions just like you and I? If Elijah can do it, Craig can do it. If Elijah can do it, Terry can do it. Come on. We are all one in Christ. When one suffers, we all suffer. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. 1 Corinthians 12:26. We're together in this thing. Understanding what the church is all about. 113 references in the New Testament, or in the Bible, actually, about the church. In the New Testament, 113 references. 96 refer to the local church. 96 times, it's not talking about the universal, it's talking about the local. How many know God placed you here because He needed you here? You can't get out. He placed you here. You're strategically placed here for a purpose. You don't think the enemy's going to try to dissuade you and talk you out of it and say, hey, you got to get up and get out of here? You're needed somewhere else? The church has played that game for years. That's why it's such a mess. People going because, listen, if you're going to move from one place to the next, you better know God's called you to a church in that area, not to a job or a career. And when you say things like that, you say, well, that's too radical for this day and age. I mean, we've got to go. No, we trust God. God put us here. You know, my life is unlike most. I get up and go when God tells me to go. I'm sent by God. When God says to go, I go. Now, I'm here for my next move is heaven. I know that. But when God establishes you and puts you in an area, it's for His purpose and His plan. It's not just to take up space. And we need discipline back in the church. Turn to Matthew 18. Where our covenant commitment is practiced. Man, I'll tell you what. You want to see somebody's Christianity, try and correct them. I mean. Just since I've been here, I try to correct people. I've never seen them again. Oh, man. And I'm like, what did I do wrong? I just told you wanted to know, and I told you, and you didn't come back. Either I offended you to the point where you never want to see me again, or you're looking for a second opinion. What's the scripture say? Matthew 18:15 says, moreover, if your brother, underline brother, not enemy, but if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, go on Facebook and tell everybody what a low-down creep he is. Man. First off, we don't have the guts to approach somebody because they did us wrong. If somebody sins against you, go to them and tell them, listen, I love you, but we got to get this straightened out. And if somebody comes to you and tells you that, get it straightened out. Don't try to defend yourself. Is this a hill you want to die on? It's more godly to say you're wrong, even if you think you're right. I'm wrong. Please forgive me. What's it going to hurt in eternity? Come on, someone. But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more. Verse 17, and if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Sin has existed in a local church way too long because nobody has had the guts to talk about it. Because we're afraid if we tell somebody we notice a sin in their life that's hindering them from all that God has for them, we won't see them again. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. Again, I say to you, if you two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done by them, by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. He didn't say that to make us have the warm fuzzies. He said it right after the rebuke to say, if we're in agreement and we're in unity, I'm there in the midst and you'll get everything that I want you to get done, will get done. That doesn't mean we start going around and correcting people unless we're led by the Spirit to do so. But if somebody's got the boldness to come and correct you, I told this story before, tell it again. We had a couple in our church, my first church, and we were just in a real growth stage, and they began to get caught up in gossip. And I mean, it was terrible gossip. And so finally, I had to go to them. I went to them quietly and said, and you got to stop this. And it didn't. So I took an elder, and I went. And I said to them, you got to stop. You got to stop doing this. You got to repent. I'm asking you, please, please repent. And it kept up. So I let them know. I said, I'm going to tell the church. I'm going to tell the church. I have to. I don't have a choice. I remember getting up on that Sunday morning and crying my eyes. I couldn't get it out, but I had to say, and they were personal friends of ours. I had to say, have nothing to do with this couple until they repent. Come on, someone. And I invited them to be there. They weren't there. So they called me on the phone that afternoon, screaming at me, how dare you ruin our good name in front of the church? And so they said, we want to see you at the house now. So I took the same elder and went back, and I went to the house, and I'm trembling. I said, man, am I doing the right thing? I mean, how many know? And so, you know, I just began to minister to them, and all of a sudden the wife fell on the ground, right in front of me, fell on the ground and started weeping. She said, please forgive me. Can you ever forgive me? And the Spirit of God hit her husband, and he fell on the ground. And we were all like slobbering idiots for the next hour, just weeping before God, crying out. And the next Sunday, he said, I want to stand in front of the church. Him and his wife stood in front of the church and repented. We had communion that Sunday morning and went on. Grew together, loved each other. Come on, somebody. If you stay in the kingdom. See, we've been called out from, called into. Isn't that the way God treats us? He rebukes us and then forgives us, and he never brings it up again. We never had that discussion ever again. Once they repented, we never brought it up and refused to have anybody even talk about it. It was a terrible time for the church, but we grew together, not apart, because we stayed in the kingdom. We come to maturity in the local church. Turn to Ephesians 4. Quickly, I'm going to tie this up. Called out of darkness into Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Now, here's the problem. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers work. Everyone else? Bleacher Christianity. Come on, somebody. But that's the way most of the church is. All the work goes to the apostle, the prophet. Oh, we need a word from God. Where's the prophet? Call the prophet in. We'll have a 3-day word from God. My question is, did he call the prophet to be a watchman for this area, or are we called to be watchmen for the area? Fivefold ministry is called to put you to work. Put you to work. You got to sign. The alarm went off and you got to get up and, you know, get ready. It's time to wake up. It's time to get involved. It's time to get going. You were called out of into something. It's quiet. Say, well, this would be good on Sunday morning. I mean, we ain't Sunday morning. I'm with my friends on a Wednesday night. And I'm telling you, it's time to go to work. Time to roll up your sleeves. It's time to pray like Christ is coming tomorrow. It's time to witness. It's time to get your life in order. It's time to, come on, for the work of the ministry. Why? For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. I had a vision a couple of years ago, and when I was praying at the church here, I saw wood and shingles and everything on a piece of property. Everything was there, but it wasn't built. Listen, we have a great church. We have great people. Well, we're not doing what we're supposed to do. We're not building a house for the Lord. We're not building the kingdom. I don't know how to say that nice, so I don't offend anybody. But we got to get busy. You say, well, how do we do that? Get involved. Talk to somebody about Christ. Go out of your way. Disciple people. Mentor. Pray. Just pray. It says in verse 13, to we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. And we say, well, we've grown way too far for that. We're wise in the church in America. Man, we've been taken to the woodshed so many times by false teachers. Tell us the world's going to end and blood moons are going to do this and this is going to do that and the other thing's going to do that. Bunch of waste of time. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part, underline every part, and then put your name there. Every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, Steve, whenever you build a wall like this, or John, when you built this wall, it was 16 inch on center, right? There's nails 16 inch on center. Is that nail a part of this wall? What importance does a nail have in the wall? You never see it. It's holding it together. But you never see the nail. All you see is the wall. Nice wall, nice paint. But without the nail, you're not listening to me. Come on. All of us are important. Without you, there couldn't be me. Without us, there couldn't be the church. From which every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. The reason why the church has become so inept and iron poor deficiency, we're weak because we've allowed these five offices to do all the work. And they get out there and do all the work and they get picked off by temptation, sexual perversion, money, fame. Come on, somebody. Why? Because we send them out. Say, go, you go do it. Here, you need more money? We'll throw more money at you. I need more money. I need a new plane so I can fly and tell people about Christ. Well, how about training people over there and save the flight? Maybe I'm saying too much tonight. Come on. Maybe I'm stepping on too many toes. See, but the reality is, what did I do with that other? No, it's over here. Oh, maybe it's not. See, the character of the church, the true church of Christ, is number one, the church is holy. Say, I'm holy. I'm not going to be holy, I am holy. Biggest beating I ever got in my life is when I took the spaghetti, you know, that spaghetti thing that has the prongs on it. You know what I'm saying? It digs spaghetti out. Pasta, you ladies know what I'm talking about. I took that to dig. Yeah, there it is. I took that to dig dirt. Build me a castle. Mom caught me with that thing, man. You're holy. When you get involved in the stuff in the world and get sidetracked in the stuff in the world, come on, somebody. Nobody says you can't relax and have a good time. You get so caught up in sports or in hobbies or in something else, and the kingdom of God goes further down the line. How many know? You're a tool that's wholly being used for common things. Are you there? Remember the king that used all the things of the temple for a party, and the hand came out and drew on the thing? You have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. Come on, you're holy. Act holy. Be who you are. You're not trying to be holy. Oh, I don't feel holy. Tough. Nobody asked you that you had. Nobody said, there's nowhere in the Bible that says if you don't feel holy, you're not holy. You're holy. The church is holy. The church is unified. Jesus said that they may be one as you and I, Father, are one. The reason why we are powerful as a church is we're in unity. And I'm jealous for that unity. I can't sleep when I'm separated from somebody. I'll just tell you the truth. Turn to John 17. I'm going to close here. John 17. Ecclesia, the called out. We're called out from and called into. John 17, 18. John 17, verse 18. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, verse 19, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's you. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. Send your glory, God. Send your glory, God. Send your glory, God. And God said, I sent my glory. I sent my glory. I sent my glory. That's the Holy Ghost. I'm just saying, we sing songs, we always ask God, send your glory, bring your glory, bring your power. He said, I've done that in the Holy Spirit. He's living in you. You've got the glory, you've got the power. That's just me. I mean, I think that's the word. That's what Jesus is saying here, isn't he? I in them and you in me, verse 23, that they may be made perfect in one. That the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. He said it twice. He said it there in verse 21, that the world may believe that you sent me. And then in verse 23, that the world may know that you have sent me. How does the world know that God sent Jesus? Did you hear what she said? Unified. God may be seen in us. The enemy has gotten so good at separating and dividing the church. So good. Take a drive through town. The Baptist church, there's three of them. They used to be one church. Methodist church, there's three of those. There used to be one church. You're not hearing me. Come on. This church was through a big split years ago. Most churches, if they've been around for any length of time, they birthed another church and they didn't mean to. Whoops. Come on, somebody. We've got to stop that. We've got to remain unified. One thing that this community does not need is another church. It just needs the churches that are there to be strengthened. Not only the church is unified, it's victorious. What does victorious mean? What's that say? Always win. Folks, we win. We don't have to try to win. Christ already won. And he involves us in the victory. Church is not only holy, the church is not only unity and unified, We're victorious. I can never be defeated. I can never be defeated. Come on, somebody. Say it with me. I can never be defeated.
I can never be defeated.
The enemy likes to lie to us and tell us that we're defeated. But that would be a lie because God said He's made us victorious. And if we're victorious, then we have that word that's so argued, we have dominion over all the power of the enemy. We have dominion over the birds of the air, the beasts of the field, the fish in the sea. We have authority on this earth. Authority is delegated power. We have power on this earth. The church has dominion. Ephesians 1:20 says, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church. It's okay for you to put your name where church is. You are the church. So if you allow me, and He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to Rick, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. I have the authority and the dominion and the power in His name. Gosh, if we could get a hold of that. We let the enemy run roughshod over us because we don't believe God's word. We need to get back to where the early church was. The condition of the early church, it was powerful. The church had a revelation of truth. When they were persecuted and they were spread, they spread the gospel all over the earth. They had the whole earth population won in the first 100 years, or at least preached to. Come on, somebody. First 100 years, they did what they were called to do. They took dominion. We have not realized that power for over 2,000 years now. That's what God needs to bring back before He comes. For He comes for His bride. We've got to go on. The early church had Christian character. They had so much Christian character, they died for their faith. I was telling somebody the other day, people in Pakistan are being saved and they're being baptized. As soon as they're baptized in water, within 2 weeks, they're beheaded. There's a waiting list. People want to be baptized. Tell them the leadership, we want to be baptized. They say, you realize if you get baptized, you're going to die. We want to be baptized. Come on, somebody. That's powerful stuff. Say, well, that shouldn't happen. It's happening. And there's people coming to Christ, in tens and hundreds of people in Pakistan coming to Christ because of the witness for those people. Love not our own lives unto the death. We overcome Him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and what? Very few generations have ever reached that place. Because we want to preserve. We're so holding on to this life, we want to preserve life. Hebrews chapter 6, 1 says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to what? Perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. I had a professor that said, I don't want to get into heaven and have the doors slammed behind me right when I step in. Just by the skin of my teeth. How many know? We want to reach perfection. Oh, that can't happen. Preacher, come on. You can't be serious that the church can be perfect. That's what my Bible says. It says right there. It says, let us go on to perfection, not laying again. And all of that. What are we shooting for? We're shooting for perfection. We're shooting for being called out from and called into. Time is short. Next Wednesday, we're going to be showing a film called, what's the film? What's the name of the film? The end times thing that we saw. The coming convergence. You want to invite people. It's about an hour and 20 minutes, so we're going to just have a little bit of worship. The youth are going to join us. The coming convergence. And it's just a real biblical thing about the end times, about the times we're living in right now. Coming convergence. Convergence. And so Terry and I watched it about 3 weeks ago, and it was kind of questionable. We thought it was going to be questionable at the beginning, but it's well done. It's doctrinally sound, and it just kind of draws attention to what we talked about tonight. The church reaching the place of perfection so that we ready, come on, we ready as many people as we can for the return of Christ. My Bible says when he sets his foot on the Mount of Olives, that's it. That's it. There's no more reprieve. The day of wrath comes. Amen. Am I talking to the right people? Amen. Let's restore the church. Let's get awake. The beautiful thing about it is God can reset the clock so that we have time. Matter of fact, my Bible says we can redeem the time, for the days are evil. We can redeem the time. That's a miracle. I don't know how he does that, but we can do it if we set our hearts to do it. And I love you. I just want to huddle up with you and say, man, let's do what needs to be done. All of us working together to get this thing completed. I don't know about you, but I want Jesus to come real quick. I really do. But he's not going to come until the work is done. In the fullness of time, he'll come back for his bride. And we can help expedite that. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for challenging us. I thank you, God, for waking us up. Lord, you've called us out of the darkness, and you've called us into the light. God, you've separated us from sin and darkness, and you've translated us into righteousness and perfection and the light and all of those things. God, I pray that, Lord, you would continue to stimulate our hearts. Convict us, Father, that we might walk in obedience to you, see these things fulfilled in our day. Lord, we don't want to pass it on to another generation. God, we want to wrap this thing up in our generation. You called us here for a purpose and a reason. Help us to know our destiny. Thanks for saving our sister Barb. She has work yet to do. And I'm glad she didn't go, because then I'd have to be a little bit angry with her father. So, Lord, thank you for saving your life. And we give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.